throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It is going to be high school basketball week. Small school state tournament coming up, starting Wednesday for Class B, Thursday for Class A. We'll tell you who made it. We'll update the standings. Tucker family beef, 8 for state standings. And it be sure and get your brackets in. Now that we know what the brackets are, fill them out, Class A and B, boys and girls. Shoot them into the text line. Shoot them into I'll get those brackets put up on a Facebook post with having those the standings and all that. So get your brackets sent in for all four state tournaments. Just now kind of halfway through that contest when we update the standings. Coming up on the show today at 9:45. We will have Calumet boys head coach Jacob Mayfield joining us. Chieftains 29-0, making their fifth trip to the state tournament under Coach Mayfield. They've won it once, runners-up twice, including last year. So we'll talk to him about his team. Also, coming up at 9:30, taking the Empire Lady Bulldogs to the first ever state tournament in their school history. It is Miss J.C. Powers. J.C. graduated. A 2000 graduate from right here in Elk City, grew up in the Texas Panhandle. So she takes her team to the Class A state tournament, 24-3. They're ranked 13th, and they'll play Quinton at 10:30 on Thursday. So we'll have Coach Powers on to tell us kind of what she's been doing, where she's been at, and then, man, what an awesome year that they've had. It's pretty cool to be the first to do anything, and that's what she's done with Empire. And then we'll just kind of recap. Where are we at? What does the brackets look like? I mentioned the standings, getting your brackets in. And, of course, the bigger schools are just now into the area tournament this week. Both Merritt teams, regional champions, the Elk City Elkettes in the area tournament as well. So a full day of high school hoops on the docket today. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV coming up this week with the video from Merritt and Elk City. We'll obviously have stuff at the Big House as well. I'll explain that to you as we move along throughout the week. And Skinny on Sports Podcast, wherever you can find one, you can find us. How are you today, Jared?
Hey, I'm good. I got a tea time at 9:30, so I'm going to duck out here a little early. You good with that?
Join the crowd. You probably should have played yesterday. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was absolutely gorgeous. I was stuck here. It's just the way it goes at this time of year, especially when Elk City plays early in those tournaments. You can't get things done, and so a nice, quiet Sunday afternoon is a good way to get the week started a lot of times. But, yep, man, we walked out of church, and I just had the sad face going,
ugh,
darn it.
That's a bummer.
Yes,
that's a bummer.
Yeah, today, windy. Fire warning, isn't there?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, warning. Red flag warning. I know Beckham County. Then further north and west, I saw the map when I
hadn't
woke
got around
up,
to doing the weather yet.
That comes with it. When it's so dry out, vegetation hasn't really grown. We've had kind of a wet winter, but it's still dry. Don't let it fool you. Be careful out there. It's going to be kind of – and there's a fire yesterday, kind of north of town a little bit, north and east, a little grass fire. So it is that time of year. We just got to be cognizant of it and be careful.
Yeah, hopefully get a little rain for everything kind of as it starts growing. And
that's what we need.
Then we can kind always, of step out of that area. Yeah, it seems like it's always about this time of year where it's
yesterday,
a big time,
man,
concern.
So pretty. I mean, I pushed the kids outside, and they did not want to come in. And I was finding stuff to do outside. So nice out. So pretty.
All right, so we are into the small school state tournament week. It's hard to believe, but here it is. Big House Championship Saturday coming up this week. Class A and Class B. Let's see. Let's start with, I guess we'll just start with Class A girls. It's the one that's in my hand. So you've got Sealing and Allen, Quentin and Empire, Red Oak and Caddo, Oklahoma Bible, and Cyril. I wouldn't say at any point in any of those eight teams that there's a big giant surprise that came out of that, like maybe some of the others as far as going into the tournament. So, you know, there might have been an upset or two. Obviously, Caddo and Wright City, one of those could make it on in that area when they both got beat in the regional final. So that's, you know, that maybe that's one that Empire was able to win. But at the end of the day, they kind of have been on a course to break down that wall at some point, and just happened to be this year that they did it. So all in all, I think you're looking at a lot of the tournament that we thought would be. Now the question rolls to, does anybody have anything for ceiling?
Hard to see it. Hard to see it because of how dominant ceiling is. But I know Allen gets them first, and I was talking to a Canute fan yesterday, and we're talking about the games on Saturday. And so, yeah, I was talking to Allen fan, like, oh, well, that might be in for us. I think we're going to get ceiling in the first round. The guy told him, hey, you're there. You want to be in that game. You want, you know, you want that opportunity. Sure, they look incredibly hard to beat, but you want to play that game. So you still got to play the game. But it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be hard not to pick them as your champ. But again, I mean, if you're Allen, you want that opportunity. Then if they get past Allen and whoever's next, you want that opportunity, because you got to make them take it. You can't just hand it to them.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, that's when we go through these brackets, I think you're going to have two that the favorite's pretty obvious, and I think you're going to have two that you can almost pick anybody to win, and you might get it right. And one of those two that is a little bit more open, let's say, would be Class A boys. You know, OK and Caddo played for in the state finals last year. They both brought a bunch back, but you know, they challenged themselves in the regular season, racked up a few losses that maybe they wouldn't normally have. And so now you look around. I think anybody can make a case for about any team in this tournament to push them through and win it. And I wonder how much experience is going to end up mattering on that floor, in that arena, with the teams that have been there versus some that maybe aren't as familiar with the big house as others.
Yeah, I like there is some parity in two of these tournaments, and in that you mentioned that in Class B seems a little bit more wide open, but we'll see. Is it Class B, or would you say Class A?
Class A boys.
Class A boys. Yeah, so that one, but I'm leaning one way. We'll probably make, when are we going to make our picks tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow before it starts on.
I think I'm here on, I don't know,
Wednesday.
Yeah. But yeah, that's going to be fun with that class there.
Yeah, I think there's five or six that when we start getting these brackets for the Tucker family beef, I'm interested to see who all ends up with the state title nod in Class A boys, and then the other one is Class B girls. To me, this is the best tournament. This is maybe the most parity, the most competitive. I think it'll be entertaining. This is the one that I'm looking forward, forward to more than any others. Is this Class B girls? Seven of the eight top eight teams made it. Only Geronimo was upset by Turner on Saturday night after falling to Hammond. So you've gotten, not only do you have kind of, this has been one that maybe they're, you trust Dover, you know, Lomega, Hammond, obviously the defending champ. There's a lot of things there with all these teams, and you know, the coaches obviously got this one right. Seven of the eight top eight in the tournament, and the only other one played on Friday and Saturday of the area tournament, just couldn't quite get through. So I'm excited about this one probably the most, to see what the matchups lead to as we move along.
Yeah, me too. There's that potential rematch with Hammond and Lomega in the semifinals. I admittedly didn't watch the first time they played at the Warrior Classic, so I don't know how that went, but I feel like Hammond's, we've said this all year, it can't be just the Henley West show. It has to be some, you know, that she needs compliments around her, and they're getting that towards the end of this year. And I almost want to say they're playing like one of the best teams in Class B right now. They're just dialed in. I watched them on Friday night. You look up, and all of a sudden they're up by double digits. They and they are a good team and well coached and well very disciplined, and it's not just the Henley West show. And I say that as a warning to everyone else in Class B, because if it's not just Henley West, then that team is going to be incredibly hard to beat. First game could be fun, though. Mountain View.
Oh, absolutely. Mountain View Serpent, their first loss of the season to LaQuipa Sickles on Friday night. Yeah, that's an amazing matchup to think about in the first round with Hammond and Mountain View Godibo. What, number three and number four in the mm-hmm. rankings? That's mm-hmm. That's a really tough
bright and early matchup. 9 a.m.
Yeah, you know how
our man Ed gave me some insight on that one. He said twice this year in tournaments, Coach Conley asked for 10 a.m. games because he anticipated an early matchup in the state tournament.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
So this isn't anything new for them, just maybe an hour earlier they're used to. I wonder what time they practice on a regular basis.
That's amazing to have that much foresight ahead. You know how I know it feels like the OSSA is excited about the possibilities on Friday? It's the last rattle out of the box. They go from 9A to possibly 9P, the last semifinal. A lot of times that is the game where they kind of keep people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a possible rematch of Hammond, Lomega, Mountain View, Lomega. There's a lot of different options.
Do you think when the coaches met up and Conley's he wants 9 a.m. and he's in the back going,
yeah, pick me.
Right here, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I'm afraid it doesn't work quite like that, but it might.
Who knows?
It very well might.
I've obviously never been in one of those meetings.
That's going to be a good one. The Class B girls is a good bracket. And then the boys is a little bit in Class B, a little bit like Class A girls. Where Calumet undefeated 29-0, the favorite, and then we find out throughout the week, is there somebody that can really really challenge him? Varnum's a team that we've seen win the state title 3 years ago, in overtime against Roth. That was just an incredible game throughout. So it's a seasoned team, a team that's been there. Obviously, Leedy Granite is fascinating for out here. They didn't play this year. I looked that up when I saw that matchup. But, you know, Leedy,
were they in the tournament down south?
No.
In Altus?
No.
They weren't in? Okay.
I don't think so.
Trying to think if there was ever a chance.
No, Hobart was, but they weren't.
Okay.
And then, you know, the experience, obviously, we talked with Coach Carpenter the other day. Leedy feels like they're in that state tournament each and every year for a decade or more now, whereas Granite's making their first appearance since 1970. So there's a huge difference there. But we've seen that Granite team. You know, against, you know, we didn't know if they beat Hammond. Did.
Yeah.
Then they beat Fort Cobb. And we will actually have Coach Cole Baumhoff on tomorrow. We've got him lined up. Also, Sentinel head coach Tyler Snowden will be with us tomorrow as well. I can't wait to ask Coach Baumhoff where he came up with the thing that everybody's talking about. And that's the diamond and two that he ran against Fort Cobb with the two guarding one. And just essentially playing 4-on-3. We saw him do it to Hammond's Trip Higgins with the box and one right off the bat after Trip hit a couple of threes. And then he went with that the entirety against Rogers, and it worked. And so his guys, I think, you know, they're probably say the one of the underdogs, but I don't know if that is fair.
I don't think they think they're the underdogs.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying.
With their run here, no.
I think Frontier and Wilson Henrietta is going to be a great game. That after watching Frontier beat Leedy, that could be a really good game. And then you got Duke down there that you've been really high on since you've seen them with their athleticism and being able to possibly challenge.
Yeah, but then you go up again. Where's Bragg's? East side, southeast? I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing to me. Leedy and Granite haven't played this year. Maybe they'll think, hey. Oh, we'll call you in the summer. Let's schedule this again. But, yeah, I don't think Granite feels like they're the underdogs, especially in this game against Leedy. And Leedy on the other side is like, we're always here. That could be a really interesting matchup, a couple teams from out in this area.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear from Coach Baumhoff.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun. Yeah. Okay.
Congratulations to them, man. I picked against them, admittedly, and I was wrong. I thought Hammond might take them down at Hammond, and they just continue to prove me wrong. That's awesome. Which is a normal thing. People usually do that.
Well, speaking of that kind of thing, the Tucker family beef 8 for state halfway through. give you an idea of where the standings are. There's a bunch of people tied with 23 teams. I mean a bunch. I didn't even list them everybody, but there's a bunch of 23s. You, Jared, got 24 out of 32. Mm. So that's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
24 out of 32 for you. Also, Yancey and Stephen Walker, both with 24. Couple behind. Then Max Patton of the Sayre broadcast. He was 25. He got 25 teams correctly picked into the state tournament. Then there's a five-way tie for first. Peyton Baker now. Peyton Baker. Paul Powers, which you know who he is?
Would that be
Coach? He just happens to be Coach Powers' husband.
Those dang spouses of husbands, of coaches.
Denny Gino, me, and the one that nobody wants to see win again. And I say again because he won last year, Coach Sean Hamm, at 26. So
can we move the goalposts in this and say the defending winners can't win again?
Well, I was catching some flack on Saturday where I was at a birthday party, and I told them, listen, if I win, I'm not going
to
take it.
I'll concede it down to the second place.
I'm not going to take it. Yeah. It'll prove I'm smarter than you, but I'm not going to take the beef.
I'll just give it to my wife. That's what I'll do.
My wife was 23. I needed to mention that. Get your brackets in. Just fill out the brackets. They're out. We'll post them for both Class A and Class B. Boys and girls are on one sheet, so all you got to do. We've already had one. Great job, Coach Stevens. He's already fired his in with the boys and girls from Class A and B. So one down. I think we ended up with 25 or 26 in the contest. So still a whole bunch left to send us their brackets. But good stuff. Thank you to Monty, Danielle, Tommy, Nelda, Granny T, all of Tucker Family Beef. Since 1917, they've been awesome out there at Sunny Point, Oklahoma, where that operation is now. We appreciate them. The beef sticks. I told him about my cousin's 4-year-old that ate about 3/4 of a. I'm going to call it a 20-ounce ribeye on Wednesday. And so you might have a new little spokesman. he just kept on pounding that down.
How old?
He's like 4.
That is good.
His dad said, I've never seen him eat this much steak, maybe for his whole life combined.
Oh, wow.
As he's eating, right? He just kept on going and cut me a piece and eating it. That's good.
Good.
So good stuff from young Trail Windsor. He might even be, now he's at school. It's not just state tournaments, though, Jared. We've also got the bigger schools into the area tournaments. The Merritt Oilerettes, I think everyone and their dog expected the Merritt Oilerettes to be in the area finals. Class 2A's number 3, no shock there. But the Merritt Oilers, that's a different story. What a run Coach Husband's team has been on through the 2A playoffs. Just an incredible run by Merritt. They knocked off number 3 Hooker on Thursday in the first round of regionals, then they win over Crescent by 10, and you know that's the thing. It's not like they've been hitting these late second shots to, you know, pull one out of the fire. They beat Hooker by 6, win the regional finals by 10, 49-39. So now, man, you look up, and both Merritt teams will be playing to go to the state tournament coming up on Friday night. So a great job by both Merritt squads to get into that, get into the area tournament.
It's incredible. Did you go back and watch any of Merritt boys? Anyways, I did a little bit. In the Hooker game, they took a lot of punches and then punched right back. I love that resiliency that they showed, and that alone, that's a great example of showing you get one win and how much that'll fuel you through the playoffs. And I think that was a big win for them, because then they turn around and beat Crescent, and now they're in this position to get into state. Who saw that coming? Not me.
No.
Not me. No offense, Merritt. I didn't see that with the boys. Not at all. That's cool. That's really cool if they can get both in.
So now they'll play Central Salisaw in the area finals, and that game will be up in Enid at the Stride Bank Center.
Big opportunity there.
Okay.
I don't know what Central, I mean, I'll
tell you.
So you got anything?
I'm looking at them.
Go for it.
No matter who wins, somebody's making the state tournament to a 2A boys unranked.
They're both unranked?
They're both unranked.
Are you kidding me? That is, Wow. They're fighting for the slipper in that one.
Yeah, they're both.
That is really
cool.
They
are both unranked. I know the Oilerettes play Kip Tulsa.
Kip?
It's like Tulsa. A charter school.
Huh.
Which they are unranked.
Does that make you nervous?
I was
These
told.
Charter schools and schools. The Riverfields, and you just don't know anything about them. And here
I was
are.
Told before the tournament started, when the brackets came out, that was a team of worry for the Oilerettes. Just that kind of maybe some more unknown, but that was one that was like, oh boy, maybe hope you don't see them. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Mark. If you're the Oilers, you want to win that game Friday night because I don't know that you want to have to play Hooker coming
again.
Back through.
No.
Because now they will have won four in a row or five in a row if you play them on Saturday night. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more with that one. I would think that would be exactly correct. So, yeah, congratulations. What a great try to get them on sometime this week. And then also, congrats to the Brown and White. The Elk City Elkettes make their way into the area tournament for the first time since 2020. Man, it was a run-and-gun crazy game on Saturday. 41-28 at halftime. The Elkettes led Bishop McGinnis. The Elkettes averaged like 49 a game, and they had put 41 up on McGinnis at halftime. It was just back and forth. It seemed like there was times where, into the third quarter, where it was like, okay, coast from here. I think it was actually 57-37 at one point, a 20-point lead, maybe even got to 22. And then all of a sudden, McGinnis outscores the Elkettes 13-2, and it's 59-50 going into the fourth quarter. It was really similar to that district game. Elk City was in control. You felt, but you probably didn't. They were probably in more control than you felt. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because of the way McGinnis was able to spurt back at times, it really cranked up the defensive pressure in third quarter throughout the fourth to try to turn the Elkettes over. It worked sometimes. It didn't others. Kudos, though, to Coach Hamm and the Elkettes for that win. It was an amazing turnaround. I mean, you know, you get 100 put on you Thursday night by Bethany in the regional winners bracket. You turn around, Bridge Creek wasn't they were better than Bridge Creek, obviously.
I don't
but you still got to turn
was.
Around and win.
You got to turn around and put. I was about to say that.
Yeah, and they
put
did
up 86. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was actually thinking to myself as the points started rolling up on the scoreboard. It's like, man, has anybody ever gotten beat the game before by somebody that scored 100 when they scored 100 the next game? I mean, it wasn't going to get there, but that kind of crossed my mind at one point. The growth that this team has showed, though,
yeah.
On Thursday, you had on Friday, Lucy O'Hara, freshman, after kind of struggle the night before against Bethany. I mean, obviously everybody did, but she was kind of in a little bit of, in a bad way. She comes back with 26, a career high on Friday, followed that up with 15 on Saturday. Then Campbell Garbarino, another freshman, on Saturday, career high 20 to lead the Elkettes. And then, of course, Abby Brown, steady Eddie through both, you know, all the games where she scores somewhere between 15 and 25 every single night. But Garbarino and Lucy, Kylie Coffey, another freshman, knocked down a couple of huge threes on Saturday to kind of stem the tide of what McGinnis was doing. Just a great job by everybody, Coach Hamm on down for that team. Started out 1-8, now 14-14, headed to the area tournament on Thursday.
Well, winners of 7 of their last 10, and two of those came against Bethany.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that. The other one, a top 10 Kingfisher
team.
Yeah, Kingfisher wrong with that.
Kingfisher, the only mortal team that's beat them
right.
Since like in the middle of January.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job, Elkettes.
Yeah, it's great. Thursday, 1:00, Wagner is the opponent, number 11, Wagner, over in Okmulgee.
Well, not a top 10 team, so I think we'll be all right.
Have a chance. When we come back, Empire Lady Bulldogs head coach J.C. Powers joins us to talk about the first trip ever to the state tournament.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
Actual audio of the Hooker broadcast the other night.
Well, welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. I don't think that that's what you going to hear inside the big house at any point coming up this week. Or you hope not, anyway.
You hope not. I'm sure it's something like that has been said in the big house. Maybe not by a coach. Maybe by some fans.
Yeah,
in the stands.
Oh no, no. I meant in the locker rooms. Not
no.
out in the stands. Anything goes.
Oh,
it's, all,
goodness.
It's all.
Yes.
There's no telling what might be said.
Yeah. We need to make a bingo card this year and see everything we see or hear something, we check it off.
You know, I haven't seen anybody kicked out yet from the stands
in
the playoff run. You got close.
Oh, this year?
This year.
I've seen a warning.
Yeah, one warning. It got close there.
I didn't see an ejection.
That's good stuff.
And I did not get the warning, in case you're wondering.
All right. Welcome back. Joining us now. On the show is the head coach of the Empire Lady Bulldogs. They are 24-3, ranked 13th in Class A, making their first trip in school history to the Class A Girls State Tournament. It's Miss J.C. Powers. J.C., are you with us?
I'm with you.
Now, is that what it sounded like in the locker room on Friday, say at halftime, as you guys were playing Tushkin, trying to make your way into the state tournament and all the yelling and screaming, or is it a little bit more calm than that?
There was a little bit of yelling and screaming. I wasn't completely satisfied with what the girls were doing on the floor. The first half, we were playing with a little bit of nerves and not really playing to our level that I felt like we should be playing at. So there was a little bit of yelling and chewing a couple of their butts a little bit.
All right, so you graduated from here in 2000.
I did.
Where has your career taken you to get to this point at Empire?
Well, I've been coaching since 2004. My husband Paul Powers and I both graduated from OU, and he's in orthopedics, and so that brought us to the Duncan area. And I started coaching soon after that. And actually, my first coaching job was at Empire. I was an assistant coach for a few years. And then I was the head coach at Bray for a few years. And we were fairly successful there. We won a district championship. We were in the finals of our county tournament and had some successful seasons at Bray Dole. And then I had twin boys and stayed home for a few years. And now this is my fifth year at Empire. We have made area runs three of the last 4 years. I've been blessed with some good girls and just some tough girls that work very hard. We just wanted to really build on those area runs. And as a team, we felt like we could make a deeper run this year in playoffs, and we've done just that.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my first question. Is because of the success that you've had in those first few years at Empire, what were the expectations for this year's team? What was being that first team to make it to the state tournament as a Lady Bulldog? Was that stuff discussed by you to them, or even with the girls amongst themselves, or back to you?
It was absolutely discussed. I mean, it's a little easier to say this now, but if I'm honest, anything short of the state tournament was going to be, we weren't going to be satisfied with it this year. It was discussed this summer. That was our goal. And since I've been coaching, I've had two teams that I really felt like had the potential to make a state tournament run. One of those teams fell short to Cheyenne, actually, at the second round of the area tournament a couple years ago, or 4 years ago, I guess. And then this team, I really felt like we had the potential. I told the girls that. We have a strong senior leadership in this group, and they believed it, and you could tell it in their eyes each day that they believed it and they wanted it, and they were willing to do essentially whatever it took to get there. And so, you know, it has been a goal, and it is one that we truly believed we could do. We had Caddo in our regional championship game, and I don't think many in the state thought we could beat them. We honestly felt like we could. As good as they are, we feel like, you know, we're a pretty good team as well. And they got us down the first quarter. And honestly, I never felt like the girls were getting flustered. I felt like they were staying the course and fighting. And that's kind of what this group does. We just fight. We fight to the last buzzer.
Hanging out with Coach J.C. Powers of the Empire Lady Bulldogs, making the trip to the state tournament for the first time. Is that why you think this team was able to be the one to break through, just that the tenacity and the fight that they have within themselves?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm a person that feels like that's one of the best qualities somebody can have just for life in general, is to always fight and to always work hard. And, you know, when things aren't going your way, you can't complain about it. You just got to keep working hard and keep fighting. And this group shares that same mindset. And, you know, anybody that's played sports knows that, you know, to make a playoff run, you're going to have highs and lows. And those teams that can fight through it and stay the course are usually the ones that are successful in the end.
Coach, it's your first state tournament, correct, as a coach?
Yes.
Yeah, so yes, it's been a few sleeps now. Has that sunk in for you? And are you excited, nervous, anxious? How are you feeling preparing for your first state tournament as a coach?
Right. I haven't felt nervous yet. Anxious, yes. You know, that's always going to be there. It felt a little more real yesterday. We had a meeting at the fairgrounds, and so the realness of it set in a little bit. And so I don't know. I think after the season's over, I'll be able to reflect on it a little bit better. But right now, as excited as I am for this team to be there, we're still laser focused and dialed in. You know, we want to perform well and get that win Thursday. And, you know, the theme the girls have kind of said this in the last week is God didn't bring us this far just to bring us this far. And we're determined to see it through.
You mentioned senior leadership. Talk about some of the key cogs individually on your team with the girls.
Seniors and just leadership-wise, my point guard, Kinley Lemons, you know, she has the ball in her hands 90% of the time. She is just a constant for us. She rarely, I think she averages a little under two turnovers a game, which is just stupid good for a point guard. Then I have KK Smith, who is another guard, small forward. She's one that has the ball in her hands a lot of the times, and she's a strong girl that can finish through contact. And then another guard, a junior, Kira Pineda, would be my third ball handler. She's a very active guard. She plays with a lot of emotion. She's kind of our emotional leader of the team. it celebrates everybody's victories and kind of just gets us going. Those three are tough defensively. They can all three get to the rim and also shoot from the outside. Another senior, Danny Kowalik, is she's close to 6 foot, very athletic. She is defensively, when she's on and flying around, she makes it very tough on people. And then Riley Mosier is my last senior. She brings a physicality for us. The girls, you know, once she brings a physicality, whether that be setting a hard screen or on a block out, the rest of the team kind of follows suit and play. And if you know anything about playoff basketball, it's very physical. There's not a whole lot of fouls being called, so you have to be physical. So she's been important for us physically wise. And then coming off the bench, I have some sophomores. They call themselves the Core Four. There's four of them, and they've grown up a lot this year and helped to bring a spark coming off the bench.
We're hanging out with Coach J.C. Powers. Quinton is the opponent in the first round, 10:30 on Thursday. What have you seen from them? What challenges will they present to your team?
I've got some game film on them. To be honest, I've been pretty busy. I haven't sat down and watched a ton of game film on them yet, but I know they like to play fast. They like to get up and down the floor, which we like to play fast as well. We're a very guard heavy team. They like to pressure people. We tend to be able to handle pressure well. I don't know the exact percentage on it, so don't necessarily quote me on this, but I think they shoot probably 75% of their shots are from the three-point line. So they like to hit the three ball, and they like to shoot it from the outside, and I think they'll shoot it from fairly deep. So that'll be something that we obviously want to restrict them from doing.
Last question for me. How much does being a player and a successful player back in your time, how much does that help you in those moments on the sidelines to try to get your point across that you want to make to your girls?
I think it helps tremendously. You know, I have as a basketball player, and you know, I ran cross country and track and all these things, and I've been in big moments before. I've been in tough moments before, and I think it helps me to know kind of just how far I can push my girls at times. As a player, you know, I can remember times that I needed a pat on the back and times that I needed my butt chewed, you know, and so I try to walk that line a little bit with them because I have a group of girls that their heart's always in it. I never have to question that. So there's some times when maybe things aren't going well where they need a pat on the back and they need to be told that, you know, it's going to be all right. And I can recall those moments as a player where I needed, you know, I needed the tough love, but then I also needed it to be loved on a little bit. And I try. I'm not always great at that balance, but I think as a former player, I think that's something that I've benefited from, you know, just recalling those days of when I got to be on the floor.
All right, I lied. One last question because the text line's blown up. They want everybody out here wants to know, if you get out in the driveway, who wins, you or PJ?
Oh, hands down, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. He's not as quick as he used to be.
Oh, that's the answer everybody was wanting to hear. So
yeah. I got one little fake, and I'm blow by.
Man, thank you so much for your time. I know we've had people literally throughout the playoffs, if we started talking high school basketball, the text line would say, don't forget about Empire, don't forget about Empire. Yeah. And so I really appreciate your time letting some people catch up with what you're doing, and good luck to the Lady Bulldogs on Thursday.
Well, I appreciate it. And Elk City and West Texas is always close to my heart. And, you know, my Facebook is blown up with people from my childhood that, and you're right, they truly do follow us, and all the love and support is very much appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Good luck. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. We appreciate it.
Head Coach J.C. Powers of the Empire Lady Bulldogs, first trip to the state tournament, school history. Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be an exciting week down there for
sure. You can tell when you watch teams. I remember last year they're in the same area as what I was covering and seeing them play, and you can tell, man, they're right there. And mm-hmm. then here they are. So them beating Caddo, I'd like to say that I'm not shocked because of what I saw personally with my own eyes and everybody that I saw that was going to come back on that team. Well coached, obviously. And I think that this is a deserving spot for them to get into the state tournament. They earned it. They're a good team.
All right, coming up next, another Western Oklahoma former basketball player doing a great job on the coaching circles. It's Jacob Mayfield, head coach of the Calumet Chieftains, coming up next. We'll ask him how his golf game is. I bet he probably doesn't know right now. Coming back, Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Channel.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hanging out here on a small school state tournament Monday. We'll have Leedy and also Hammond on Wednesday. Paragon TV. We'll let you know all those details coming up. Joining us now, a guy that will be playing. His team would be playing on Wednesday at the Big House. It is Calumet Chieftains head coach Jacob Mayfield. Jacob, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Skinny?
Doing well, man. You guys 29-0. Fifth trip to the state tournament at Calumet. Runners-up a year ago, how tough has it been for you to manage the expectations of this team considering everything you returned off of last year's runner-up?
It's honestly been pretty easy. We had a really successful fall baseball season. I think the guys ended up runner-up in that, went 30-2. You know, a few years ago, we were ranked number one for most of the season when we had a Class A team, and the pressure just really mounted with the kids. Over the season, we would win by 15, and it wasn't enough. You know, like the pressure just wanted to – it was like we could never do good enough in our own minds. And this year it hadn't been that way. I don't know what the difference is. I guess because we've done it before maybe, but it's been pretty easy. The guys, not one time we talk about being undefeated. We always – I've had a saying going the last few weeks. We actually had a really rough 2 weeks there at the end of the season. We played a lot of really good teams, a lot of close games, and I said we can win or lose tonight, and we can still win a state championship. And so on Friday night, I said I could tell them that night, but after that, we're done saying that. That saying's over for us. So the pressure's going to be kind of mounting a little bit. But the guys, man, they really respond well. We've been down in, you know, four or five games at halftime, and the third quarter's really been a positive for us. We've really been able to put people away in the third quarter.
Yeah, it seemed like that happened on Friday night against Kenta. Didn't shoot it very well in the first half, but, man, came out defensively, just absolutely shut them down and got things rolling. Is that just something that your guys kind of figure out as they move along, or is there something you have to adjust to when the game starts like that?
I don't know. Use that going and yelling and screaming at halftime, and I'm sure that doesn't help at all. But the main thing is I think we just impose our will as far as defensively. We really have a good defensive team. And we play a lot of guys. So I think honestly, I think people kind of wear down middle of the third quarter is what's been happening, and that's been helping us. Yakinta, we won the third quarter 13-1 and kind of put the game away. They're not a real good scoring team, and defensively, man, we was all over them. I thought the guys really played well. We actually went the whole second half and didn't give up one offensive rebound. I was pretty proud of the guys for that.
Coach Jared here, looking at your schedule, and you mentioned not good enough. This year's been pretty dang good, and you haven't had a lot of close games outside of maybe the Okarchi game, from what I can tell. Any worry there of complacency, like, oh, we just expect to win by 10, 15, 20 points every game? Any worry about that, or like you just said kind of earlier, it's like, ah, it's just, they're just kind of going, taking it in stride?
You know, I think we've had I think three different games this year we've been down, maybe in the middle of the second and at halftime. And like I said, it just the third quarter just comes out and the guys just seem to kind of come alive. You know, I talked about being number one like in 19 or in 20, and we kind of got beat late in the season a few times. And then when we went to that area tournament at Okmulgee, kind of in the same area we was at the other day, and we had almost the same exact shooting night as we did on Friday night. You know, we went 15 for 42 in the game and 1 for 12 from 3 and still figured out a way to win because our defense, man, we just overpowered people with just guarding them, man. And I was really proud of the guys for that. That was a game that we've lost in the past.
You've had to make a little bit of a change, what, since Christmas or so, with your son injured, not able to be there. How have you had to adjust with him not being on the floor for you?
Well, we really are. I mean, we probably could go maybe 11 deep at times early, and then you know how you kind of narrow your rotation down. So with Hunter going out, and I was just looking at our stats, you know, he would have been our third leading scorer going into the state tournament at what he was averaging at Christmas. You know, and as a dad, it did hurt my heart that he got hurt, and I hate seeing him on the sideline. But, it opened up a few shooting opportunities for some of the other guys. They get more shots. And we've had another freshman that has really come along and played really good and kind of not necessarily took his role on, but his name is Brendan Voss. He's our superintendent's son, man. He's played like a grown man here the last few weeks for us. So, you know, with one guy going down, it opens the door for some others. So they've kind of just picked up what he was doing, and we seem to be trying to getting by at least.
We're hanging out with Jacob Mayfield, head coach at Calumet. Who are some other guys that have been contributing for you this season?
So I know that just because we did our state tournament questionnaire, we just turned this in. I got it sitting right here. You know, our leading scorer is Hunter Arnold. He's a senior. And then our second leading scorer is another senior, Dalton Belcher. But then after that, we have eight guys, well, seven guys that average over around seven and more a game. And basically those two seniors are the only two seniors that play, and then all the rest of them are young guys, you know, mostly sophomores and freshmen. But John Sandoval is a guy on that list. He comes off the bench for us. You know, he's our third leading scorer. And then we have, you know, and that's one good thing about us is you know, any given night we may have, one of those eight that goes for 18 to 20 a game. And you never can tell who it's going to be. So I'm pretty excited about that. You know, like I said, we got about eight or nine guys that can go out and actually score the ball.
You're going to have to help me with one of the names. I always
say to Pahoodle.
Thank you.
His dad played in Anadarko, right?
Yeah. Is that?
That's exactly right. Yes, he did.
I was fortunate to see a couple of games over at the West Central of your games. He stood out for me. He looks like a really good player to me.
Well, I'll tell you what he has done for us is, man, he's clogged that middle up. Now, you know, maybe a weakness for our team is our guards are, 6 foot to 5'9", but we have a lot of them. And you know, we build, we kind of predicate our team on pressure. And that, like I said, like Friday night, the pressure absolutely took over the game for us the second half. But the first half, Hez was in foul trouble. And, so we call him Hezekiah. We call him Hez. So that's a lot easier than the other. he absolutely had some monster blocks. He really protects the rim really well. So we can out-pressure him. They get around him. They still have, they got him to contend with him. He's had some unbelievable blocks this season. I'll say that.
Hey, we're getting questions on the text line. When are we going to start hearing about your daughter? How old is she?
She's a seventh grader.
Okay, so she's a couple seasons away.
She's a pretty good player. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about her coming, getting older. You know, watching her play, it's going to be fun.
What about Varnum? What challenges are they going to present to you guys coming up on Wednesday?
Well, just about what I said about our size. You know, to be honest, you know, we're on the same side as Leedy and Granite, and we're not the biggest team out of anybody really moving forward. But, you know, our guys play strong, and they're, you know, pressure negates size. And so Varnum has a lot of size. They start they have three wings, all go 6'3 or 6'4, and then they got a post guy that's about 6'5. And they have lots of size, and that could be a problem rebounding the ball against them. But like I said, we try to preach that quite a bit, and we can pressure them away from the basket. That would be good for us. They're a good team. They have a lot of native kids on their team as well, man. They'll shoot the ball quick, and they'll play fast, but their size could be a problem for us.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of asking the same question again, but we talked before you came on the air that you guys are, I mean, let's face it, heavy favorites in this tournament. How do you handle that as a team when everyone's saying it's Calumet? How do you approach that with your guys saying, guys, listen, do you just let it flow? Or how do you approach that when you hear all that outside noise?
Man, like I said, the pressure of that is really is like I said earlier, it's, you know, you're never doing good enough. Everybody thinks you should be better than what you are. So, like, I'll go back to the West Central. We played Arapahoe in the second round, and Arapahoe is a good team. They didn't really have a great record this year. But, you know, we won that game by 10, and we played them twice this year. I think we won by 11 or 12 maybe both games. But it was like, what happened against Arapahoe? Well, they're a pretty good team, and they, you know, they just play a certain way that really has bothered us a little bit. But when we're ahead by 8 or 10, you know, do you go chase them around, or do you – you know, just win. So I've been telling the boys, we just got to win by one. So I'm upset at halftime, and we win the other night by 16, or we win by 10 or 11, and all we're trying to do is win by one. And I got to definitely keep that, reminding the kids that just winning is winning. That's all we're trying to do.
We're hanging out with Jacob Mayfield, Calumet head coach. You know, guys like us, we'll talk about, you know, being in that arena, in that setting at the Big House, and does it or doesn't it affect, you know, just the background, the shooting background? It's weird for you know, it's something to talk about. Does that really matter? Does the experience – is it more about the experience of being in those moments important than it is having have shot in that gym?
You know, I think the best way to handle that is just not even talk about it. Just go play and get out there. We're at a really lucky this year because we play first, so we get to be there an hour and a half early and shoot in there for a little bit. But, you know, these guys played three games in there last year, and they did it really at a young age. So I would think moving forward that shouldn't bother us, I wouldn't think. But that's why everybody says defense wins games too, right? Skinny, hopefully that we won't have to worry about it. Maybe we can go 1-for-12 from three and still have a chance to win the game.
Well, and that's
play really hard defense.
That's got to be a great luxury, right? Because there's certain teams that you walk in there and you know, man, we have got to bury shots or we're not going to have a chance. For you guys, if you bury shots, that may just mean you win by 30 because you always have that defense to hang on.
Well, that's what we're hoping for sure. And this year will be a little different for me. We play on Wednesday. You know, they've only done that for a couple of years where everybody plays at the fairgrounds and the days are different. So, like last year, we played on Thursday. It was easier to play Thursday, and this year it's Wednesday. So that may be a little different. Just talking about maybe even on the Friday night game, if we can figure out a way to get around Varnum, we probably would rather play a Granite or a Leedy on back-to-back nights because we're deeper than them. So it'll be different. I don't know. I mean, like I said, just something to think about. I do like playing on Wednesday better because I don't have to wait all week to play.
Yeah, you're just chomping at the bit to get out there, I'm sure.
But then you got
to
wait.
Yeah, and then you wait to the semifinals.
Like, yeah, do you like that? Do you think you like that? A little rest?
Yeah. Like I said, we try to play enough people, get them enough rest. But it will be means we can probably play even faster maybe. We'll try to do that.
If there's one thing in your mind that your guys have to do throughout, not only against Varnum, but if you move on from there, what is maybe a key in your mind that you guys are going to have to take care of in order to hoist that gold ball for the first time since 2017?
You know, like, I would honestly say we got to hang our hat on defensive rebounding. If we can do that, we'll have a good chance to win. Limit shots, if we can, you know how that is. We can limit possessions for other people. Mm-hmm. But, again, if we shoot the ball from the outside well, and like we are capable of, that would be a positive. But I think just make sure we rebound the ball.
Does being a former player help you in those moments on the sideline as a coach to get your point across to the guys the way that you want to do it?
I don't know. Probably not. I think if you know what your team's at doing and what you want them to be successful at and trying to do what you need to do right, I think anybody can do that, whether they played or not.
All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll see you around up there at the Big House this week. You guys go on Wednesday against Varnum in the first round of the Class B Boys State Tournament. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, thanks, Skinny.
Absolutely. Head Coach Jacob Mayfield of the Calumet Chieftains joining us here. Was it last year that he joined us in the Big House?
Yeah, I think that's right.
As we were doing the show there on that Friday.
Yep.
I always appreciate his time, and man, they've been good all year. Everybody knew, heck, even walking out of the Big House last year in that state title game loss to Fort Cobb, everybody at that point already knew that Calumet was going to be a problem for the following year, and they've handled it really, really well. 29-0, seem poised to make a really good run, and fully expect to see them there on Saturday playing for the gold ball.
I remember watching them play over in Weatherford, and they hit, like, they started the game with like 3 for 3 from outside, and you think the crowd just go crazy and nuts, and their crowd just it's like golf
clap.
And I was like, that's what we do. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the expectation. Yeah, we do this every night. Nice putt. That's kind of how the reaction was.
It better be a little bit different this
week. A
little
different. It was a little louder when they played Sentinel on that Saturday night, too. It was a little bit more exciting. But, yeah, their fans expect it. And he said it good. I mean, there's expectations, they're sure. But it doesn't sound like there's a lot of pressure there. That's what I was looking for. Do they have that pressure to well, at this point, they have to go undefeated and to walk away with the state title, and I'm not hearing any pressure there.
Yeah, he answered that question. I was wondering if being that undefeated number one, you know, does that change it a little bit? It didn't seem like it. It seemed like they're pretty, you know, expect. And I think a big part of that is last year, like you said, mm-hmm. being there, they played 3 games in the Big House. That's something that's even different, too, than it used to be. You know, at times, teams could make the state tournament not experience that atmosphere because they had to play at some sub-site. Now, with the way it's set up after COVID, everyone gets to step foot on that floor. So even teams that are coming back, you always know they're there. Mm-hmm. They've been there. And I think that's a huge advantage to those teams, you know, the Calumets, the Leedies, who, you know, go on down the line of teams that are consistently in that space, in that arena. And then from an emotional and a physical standpoint, knowing how you feel, knowing how you react in those situations, I think is huge. Speaking of Sentinel, we'll have head coach Tyler Snowden on tomorrow. He's going to go at 9:30. Before that, Granite head coach Cole Baumhoff will be on at 9:15. So we've got those two guys coming up tomorrow, Granite and Sentinel. And we'll have other coaches, I'm sure, sprinkled throughout the entirety of the week, not only for the Class B, Class A and B state tournaments, but also we've got those 2A and 4A area tournaments as well, both Merritt teams trying to punch their ticket into the 2A state tournament coming up on Friday night, and the Elkettes of Elk City will play Thursday as well. Get your brackets in. Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. Get your brackets sent to us. A and B state tournaments, fill them out, and we'll get that updated standings on the Facebook page today. Good stuff. Anything else you got? What a great Bedlam game. That's what's crazy. Just an unbelievable. I tell you what. We've dogged college basketball, and rightfully so, for how poor the play can be and how, man, that second half, those two – and you know what I noticed? The two offenses were great. I mean, they scored at will, it seemed like. But you know what I noticed? What a bunch of coaching. Just letting guys go make plays, you know, and people were complaining about the last play that Mosier – whatever. He let his guy have the ball, and he made a shot. Now, was it what you wanted to see? Probably not. Was it an incredibly tough shot that he made? Yes. Great defense by Oklahoma State, but just better shot making. I think that's the same people that complain about how bad college basketball is, just let the guys go make plays. Well, when they do, then the criticism goes back to the coach. What the hell are you doing? Nice play you drew up there. You know, so it's like it's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too on that. If you want to just give them the ball and let the guys go make plays, you got to appreciate when they actually do.
Yeah, fun game. I wasn't able to watch. I was driving, and then as soon as I got to Chickasha, my phone blows up. Boomer! I was going, what did I miss? And so I wasn't able to watch until late Saturday night, I just basically picked up at the second half and rewatched it. But you're right, it felt like a quality basketball game, and it kind of felt like those old Bedlam games that you get, especially in Stillwater, where the energy is amped up. And let's hope that they at least can figure something out on the court side of things to get on, or in the gym, to play Bedlam, to continue Bedlam. There's actually more fluid talk with that than there is football. So, and that's why. I mean, we want those games. Those were fun. That was a fun game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if everybody plays Bedlam except for football.
Yeah.
Moving forward. But that was a fun game. It really was. And both teams played really well, executed offensively. It was a fun one. All right, that'll do it for a Monday edition of the Skinny on Sports. We really appreciate J.C. Powers, head coach from Empire, and also Jacob Mayfield from Calumet joining us today. Tomorrow, Cole Baumhoff of Granite, Tyler Snowden of Sentinel will be on to talk about their team's runs into their respective state tournaments. Everybody have a great Monday. Be careful out there with the wind and the weather. Yep. Don't start fires.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!